The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Yeah, like Furta or Furta not, there is no, like, Texas yeah. size 10-4. I don't yeah. know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you just see him, like, instead of Rebel One, it's just like, Texas size 10-4. Wait, what the fuck is Texas?
I really do want to do a video now where it's Darth Vader conversation, but it's actually Jared Kiso that plays Wayne in Letterkenny doing the lines.
Oh my God.
It's like... Just I can't do impressions, so I'm not even trying.
I have no.
But that'd be amazing.
We need the Canadian to do the Canadian impressions.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to take actually audio from Letterkenny and then put it over scenes from Star Wars and just see what it looks like.
Even just Vader with a Canadian accent.
He will join us or die.
James Earl Jones with a Canadian accent would not work. You'd have to be like really like high pitched and not a black dude. Doing it.
Well, that's the thing with Letterkenny. There's only like one black dude. Although apparently there's only like two or three in the Star Wars universe. So
I don't think there's any black people in Canada, are there?
In all of Canada,
it's cold. Probably not.
No.
I mean, super cold. So, just saying.
That's what it's just like. Okay. No.
No. I no. Did, no. This is the farthest thing from homeland ever. Fuck that. Seriously.
Bears outside. No.
Speaking of cold, also like they're. The glacier planet in the new Star Wars was gorgeous.
It was.
Yeah, and it was only in there for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, all the landscapes were gorgeous. Fuck, man.
Usually, as they put so much time into like the actual look of all the different planets and stuff, so it was really nice to see that is still consistently awesome.
Yep.
No matter what your feelings on the different movies, it's still just like, it's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
Oh, we're going to have to get into this shit.
Yeah, we got it.
Hardcore.
I will say before we continue any further is that this episode is specifically about, and we're going to be talking about the Star Wars universe in general, but primarily we're going to be talking about Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker on this episode. This is coming out just a few days after opening weekend, so if you have not had a chance to see it, you're not a bad nerd or anything. It's the holiday season, I get it, but there are spoilers, so if you don't want to be spoiled, definitely... Maybe listen to this episode after you've, I don't know, Christmas Day, gone with your family to see The Rise of Skywalker. A lot of people do that. So then on your way home from family festivities, you can pop on the cool, crazy sounds of Geeks Under the Influence and just get some insight or more likely dick jokes related to Star Wars on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that this is an unofficial number episode count, but... This episode, if you count all the GUI Nights and all the Geeks Under the Influence episodes, this episode is the 200th release on this stream. So, yeah, this is not the official count because we don't count the GUI Nights in the numbered count. But if you did, then you're nailing. This is 179 of Geeks Under the Influence.
There
so we're still pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And I'm really excited to talk about The Rise of Skywalker. First episode we ever did on Geeks Under the Influence was a Star Wars episode.
Yep.
And if ever we stop this crazy train, we might even finish it with a Star Wars episode. So
was that the unreleased one?
That is available if you go to the Geeks Under the Influence page on our GUI website. There's a zip file of the first 41 episodes that sound like total trash. And that's the only way you can get the first episode called Vader's Robot Dong.
Yes.
I actually downloaded that today.
Did you?
I was listening to some of your older podcasts.
Yeah,
so.
The audio is not...
All right. It's all good.
All right, hold on. It didn't sound trash. Now, the very first episode sounded like trash, but, you know, the, like, few 10 episodes before we actually got any board, you know, you got the editing down pretty well.
Yeah, the editing was decent. Yeah. It's just an old board, so it was really hard to get the volume levels and...
Right.
But you learn.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yep. And... That's what improvement is there for.
Mm-hmm. No analog to digital thing. Yeah. That was kind of the...
You learn, you know?
Speaking of analog, that's what we're going to get into also on this episode about Star Wars, because that's what kind of makes it so brilliant, is just the kind of analog approach to technology and the future kind of technology stuff. So let's get to it. Let's get into it. On this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, welcome!
Wee!
Yeah. So good.
So, well, that is when I'm going to kind of, after we do our introductions of the panel, I want to get into initial thoughts of the new movie, because there is definitely a lot of split feelings on whether this was a good movie or bad movie, or there is definitely some in the middle feelings about it as well.
I didn't think I would see this, because I went to saw a preview night. I didn't think I would see this the next day, but I did. It's like fucking Last Jedi all over again, and I don't understand why. Like, I gotta understand with Last Jedi, but I don't really understand with this one why we've got this smorgasbord.
I think what it's come to is that Star Wars fans are like Tool fans, where either you're just like chill and you're just a really big fan of the music, and then it's fine, or you're a complete douchebag about it. And as much as I love Tool, like, I don't think I'm in the douchebag category. Same with Star Wars. We're just, it's a thing I like. Don't be so overly critical where you're, if it's not exactly your vision, then you hate it. It's just, that's ruining the fandom for yourself.
Well, we can blame George Lucas for that, because he killed all of our childhoods with those stupid fucking prequels.
We've done the conversations on the prequels editions, and
I'm just saying is that, you know, it put a bad taste into people our age who grew up with Star Wars. Okay, not the people that grew up with the prequels, but we grew up with the original trilogy, and put a bad taste in our mouth. And the new trilogy, J.J. Abrams started, was a breath of fresh air.
True.
So this is wrapping it up. I'm in it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm into it as well.
I'm definitely on the stance that, like, the prequels, personally, I don't think they are as bad as people say they are.
Yeah.
I think that was a great way to finally get Star Wars back into being able to watch a new version of Star Wars. It reopened the gates for Star Wars fans. And so it was a good introduction to it.
Yeah.
And you are right. It did open it up to a whole new people, like the people that saw it when it was, you know, the same age that we were, but they actually got to go to the theater to see it so much, you know, where I didn't get to see any of them in the theater, right? So, like, they literally grew up with it from theater to home. So it did open up. And there's kids that are young that don't know, kids don't care about the differences that we cared about when they came out, you know?
That's something I try to keep in mind. My nephews, they love the prequels and the original trilogy. The prequels were not made for our generation.
No, not at all.
It's made for a younger generation. Yeah, it's supposed to be for kids. That's what the original Star Wars was.
But they weren't made for kids.
Well, no, it was kid approachable. But it was also, there were some deeper conversations happening within this very simple kind of storyline. And I think that's what was kind of missing a little bit from the prequels, was that there wasn't that adult conversation kind of interwoven into the fun adventure movie. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, it's a different approach to the series. And I'm not a fan of the prequels. But no. I always have to remind myself, it's not always about me. It's that I'm, you know, just a man child in his 30s that's a fan of this thing. So I need to accept that if it's for kids, I'm like, it just didn't have any real, like, social insights. And it had way more lightsabers, though. You know, that's okay. So let's get into the panel before we actually continue with this. To my right, a first timer on the Geeks Under the Influence network, period. But has vended at least one of our events in when we were doing the Beautiful Disasters movie nights at Strange Ways. The Chalk Geek herself, Bunny, is here.
Hey.
I'm happy to finally have you on. Yeah. I know that you're a big Star Wars fan.
Huge.
To the point where some of the stuff you've done, what is Chalk Geek all about?
So I take, like, popular, well-known quotes from different fandoms, like video games, books, movies, TV, and I illustrate them in chalk on, like, chalkboard paper and chalkboards.
Nice.
And so just super geek central. And I've done a couple Star Wars things, but need to do more. In fact, speaking of the prequels, the only quote I've done from, well, second quote I did from Star Wars was, it's working, Anakin Skywalker pod racing. I need to revisit and do some more Star Wars quotes from that. But yeah, so that's pretty much what Chalk Geek is.
You can do, like, I'm half the man I used to be, Qui-Gon.
That's a good one, though.
I have done, I'm one with the Force is with me from Rogue One.
Oh, so,
I mean, that's a great quote.
Absolutely.
So.
Yes. I love that movie so much. Yes. That's been brought up a lot this week with this new movie coming out about favorite new movies.
It's my favorite new Star Wars
movie,
so
hands
down. Yeah.
I was blown away by Rogue One, and I'm really having a struggle of conversation on whether or not I like Rogue One or this new one, Rise of Skywalker, more. And I'm just so close to having just seen this one that it's a really hard call, and it's a very stylistically different movie. yeah, each other.
I mean, it's so you're looking at a saga movie versus an offshoot that led up to a saga movie, right? So, I'm with you though. Like, I need to watch Rise of Skywalker a few more times before I can solidly say that it's replaced. But like, fucking Rogue One, man. Oh, god damn it, it's
so
great.
Good. So good.
That movie was amazing.
Yeah.
It is.
Now, next
is
on the amazing. Panel is one of the co-hosts of Beautiful Disasters, a regular panelist here on Geeks Under the Influence. You know him. You love him. Besides his socks and sandals habits, Herr Grootz is here.
Yes, yes. I try not to take the socks and sandals out of the house, as we all know, but it's a good joke.
I'm fine with socks. It's a good joke. Thanks for like patting me on the head for that joke.
Yeah.
It's been running like, what, 3, 4, 5 years now?
At least 5 years.
At least five, yeah.
Yeah.
The length of this podcast, I think,
pretty
for sure.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And definitely on this episode. Because
when we
Star
first
Wars.
Became friends, one of the things we initially bonded on is our deep love of Star Wars.
Yes.
So it's something that it becomes almost an identity for some people, myself included, is that this is one of, if not my biggest fandom, Star Wars. So
absolutely.
It's like ingrained in my DNA at this point.
And it's one of those things, like, we are of an age that we fell into it at the right time, at the right age for it. Because, you know, we saw it when we were young, like, you know, Yankee Blue Jeans, my wife, like, she didn't see Star Wars until she was in her 20s, and she just
Didn't feel it.
Didn't feel it.
Yeah, you've got to be, it's got to be when you're young.
No, mm-hmm. it's a young thing. You see it when you're like 8, 10, whatever, and
I saw it when I was like 3 or 4 for the first time.
I mean, I think I saw Return of the Jedi in the theater when I was like, you know, 5 years old or something, you know, and it's... That's fine.
Nice.
You know? When you were knee high to an Ewok.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
all the Ewoks, they had to bring those ugly bastards back in.
Oh, gosh.
Let's finish the introduction so we can really get into Rise of Skywalker. To my left, my right-hand man, the sexual chocolate, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What is going on, everyone?
You got to see Rise of Skywalker. You immediately sent me a message going freaking out and mad that I hadn't seen it yet because you wanted to geek with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's what we do.
It is what we
God
do.
God damn it. Yeah, I mean, I took the son and we were just blown away by it. Fucking great movie. And yeah, so I've been able to see the new trilogy with a young, you know, with a child, which has been great, seeing it being a man-child and then seeing a child, like, be able to go enjoy a new Star Wars movie in the theater. You know, that's new for them. Because it's been another generation, right, since the prequels. If you think about it, right?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome.
Hell yeah.
And to my right, who gets all the dry jacks.
All the dry jacks.
All the fucking dry jacks, is the purveyor of the Geeks Around the Influence Network. He is also the host of Smack My Pitch Up, and he runs trivia in Richmond at a couple different, well, one place now, but
currently one place.
Currently one place.
Yeah.
And he's also got something else in the works. This is Mike the Hobbit Bickett. You got something else coming out.
I do, in fact. This episode of Geeks Under the Influence is going to be releasing on Christmas Eve Day. And a little present to all of our listeners, regular listeners, as a gift to you on Christmas Day, we're going to be releasing a preview, the pilot episode, of the new show on the Geeks Under the Influence Network that will officially release on its own stream on New Year's Day. But you can get a preview of the pilot episode on Christmas Day on this stream, on the Geeks Under the Influence stream, of Strictly Hypothetical.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yes.
Me and Amy, who's been on a number of the different shows on the network, we are doing a show where we field hypothetical questions sent in by listeners and fans and try to answer them to the best of our abilities. So we've answered such questions as, well, I don't want to give away the stuff on the pilot episode, but some of the stuff that we've jokingly put up is, what menu item on the Taco Bell menu would you want to most have sex with? which sea creature would be the best breakdancer? You know, really important, like, life-changing questions we try to field on this show.
There you go. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a serious podcast.
Very seriously taking these questions there.
Uh-huh.
It's turning out really good. It's turning out extremely funny and so dumb. So
it's like follow up your episode of All Things Considered with... Strictly Hypothetical.
Strictly Hypothetical.
There you go.
It will be on New Year's Day. There will be its own stream available. Just go to GUIpodcast.com or follow Strictly Hypothetical GUI on Facebook for more information on that. And we'll be posting that on all of our social media stuffs, on all the different shows and everything when it releases. But
I'm stoked, man.
Look out for it on Christmas Day because we're going to have the pilot episode available for everybody to listen to. And I'm really excited to get some feedback on it because I think it turned out great.
Awesome.
Yay.
Sweet.
So let's get into it.
Get in the meat.
Okay, so we got initial reactions. I feel like mostly everybody at least enjoyed the movie. There's probably varying levels of how much enjoyment came from it, but yes. is there any kind of like major detractions that you got from the show, from the movie, something that really bothered you or
not really, actually.
Okay.
I realized that this is the third movie of this particular trilogy. So it was going to be The Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay. And it had to kind of wrap up plot lines, which I had no problem with. I think they did a great job with that. There were feels at points. But some of the character development, especially the Rey and Kylo situation.
Yeah.
I think they did pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel too rushed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like the movie was nonstop.
Like, oh, nonstop.
That's one of those things. Like it honestly, I feel like the movie could have been 20, 30 minutes longer just to add more exposition at points.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it was like action.
But they were pushing it, I think it was a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. So they were pushing it for what's technically a kid's series or a young adult, maybe.
I mean, you know, every single Lord of the Rings movie was 3 freaking hours long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
So I feel like they could have put a little bit more in. Like, it felt almost rushed to me.
Yeah, it definitely felt more like that at the beginning. I think about half hour, 40 minutes in, it started to, like, find its
legs a little bit.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And got a little bit smoother. But, like, the beginning, they just kind of jumped from scene to scene. But, yeah.
I absolutely agree to an extent. I think it was them introducing where everybody is now and giving you a feel like the starting point. But there's so many characters in at this point that it was like, okay, this now over here and this thing and then over here and this thing. And then we're also introducing the plot while we're introducing where everybody is in the world. And it became, a little bit rushed at the beginning.
Yeah. And like going back and thinking about it, because we mentioned this previously before recording, I went back and thought, I'm like, okay, I can see how it would feel like that. You know, while I was watching it, I didn't feel like that at all. It was just kind of like, I get exactly what Hobbit said. It was like, no, they're just showing where everyone's at because everyone is split right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. You know, and I just knew they had to do that because there is it's one of the largest cast of characters in a movie.
Yeah,
that you have to,
there's a lot going on.
They have to bring back together. So understanding that, I didn't think it was rushed because I knew that it was just kind of what they had to do. Even if you'd still be jumping around to all those places, and an extra 5 minutes per scene would have added a lot of time to the movie.
True.
We figure this is almost double the cast of the original trilogy because you've got the original trilogy people and also the new trilogy people all kind of interacting or introducing and doing all the stuff. So it's, and then all these, not main characters, but characters, there's Greg Grunberg's character that ends up dying in this one. And it makes me sad. He was the psychic cop in Heroes.
Oh yeah.
He's good.
He's good friends
with J.J. Abrams. He was in Big Ass Spider.
Yes.
The movie Big Ass Spider, which is weirdly hilarious.
He was the new Wedge, basically.
Yeah, he was the new Wedge. And he was a character that I was familiar with. It had one of the Hobbits was in it.
It did, yeah.
That was distracting,
Was that Mary or Pippin? It was one of the...
Yeah, yeah.
That was
Mary.
Charlie from Lost.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Was just in the movie. And I'm like, dude, I know you. Damn you. Like, every time he was on screen, I was like, get off the screen.
Well, this is Star Wars. Even in The Mandalorian, there are so many like guest appearances, and I don't want to talk about, we have a Mandalorian episode coming in the pipe, so I don't want to get on that too much, but it's Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to be in Star Wars. Daniel Craig was in Force Awakens as a stormtrooper.
Yep. Well, both those guys are J.J. Abrams' like favorites.
Which ones? Greg Grunberg
and Charlie.
Charlie from Lost. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in all of his series.
Yeah.
Like, anything he does, pretty much.
Well, because they're actually friends with each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah,
exactly.
Going into where there was such a turn in Last Jedi, which I was one of the people that enjoyed Last Jedi.
Yes.
I loved it.
There was definitely mixed feelings on that movie. Bunny's shaking her head.
Mixed feelings.
Were you not the hugest fan? Or?
It just, there were just certain parts that fell flat for me. Like, I think Rogue One came out around the same time.
The year before.
Yeah. Because you had a little break. But, like, I just liked that so much. Like more,
I
so
can
I was
understand
like,
"What you didn't like
really...
the casino planet where they save the horses?
My gosh.
That was the worst part of the fucking movie.
That was.
Yeah,
the worst
I would
part.
Agree that
really
they're like,
was.
You need to find this one person in the entire universe, the master code breaker, or Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, no. Let's give that a try.
Or him.
Yeah.
Can we say, though, like, I love the fact that this didn't have a wasted scene. In my opinion, there was, like, not a wasted scene in this movie.
It's true.
Everything, it went built up, like, for what was happening, especially the scenes between Kylo, like you mentioned, and Rey. Those scenes and showing, like, the force projection and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
I appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, the force projection, that was something that was introduced in Last Jedi.
Yep.
And one thing that I appreciated, that I was worried that it was going to be what Last Jedi did to Force Awakens, which is like, no, we're not doing that. We're doing this instead. I thought maybe JJ would do the same thing and just, like, cancel everything from Last Jedi and kind of spend half the movie doing that. He utilized a lot of stuff from Last Jedi, including the force projection stuff where you could actually take physical items off each other.
Yeah.
That was suggested in Last Jedi.
That was amazing.
I like that a lot.
So they just kind of continued with that and really filled it out so that at the end with the big reveal with the lightsaber, you aware of that being a thing they could do. So it wasn't like a, wait, what? It was more of a, oh, you motherfuckers, I see what you did there.
Yep.
And I mean, and that just shows how good of a director JJ is, because I'm sorry, like, don't change what somebody else set up. Or completely, like, debunk it, build on that, which is, I mean, that was my biggest problem. As much as I did enjoy Last Jedi, my biggest problem was that Johnson just kind of shit-canned everything JJ set up. And, like, that's kind of a shit thing for a director to do.
Never mind. Oh,
that's the big one. No. That's a big one.
I don't think Ryan Johnson shit-canned everything. He took it in a different direction, which I appreciate, and he took expectations to a different place, which I also appreciate. However, in this one, you know, a lot of people were like, well, what is he going to do? Is he going to roll it back? He didn't.
No.
Like, literally the only thing that I remember from watching the movie was Force Ghost Luke, like, yeah, I regret a little bit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, so about all that, like, curmudgeonly old man on a mountain shit, like,
I was wrong.
My bad. Sorry.
I was wrong.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You know, you need to step up. Girl.
Turns out the Force is kind of cool. Who knew?
It's kind
of
sweet, guys.
He's like way more chill as a ghost. He's like, all the stress of being alive and being like the last Jedi is like just melted off of him. So he's just like chill. He becomes like the Big Lebowski of Star Wars. He's like, hey, man, just do the Force or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't need to be drinking no freaking like purple milk or green milk.
It was like, he turned to like Surfer Jedi because he was just like, what are you doing, man? Like, he's just like,
definitely the dude.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Yeah.
I got a beverage here.
I got some green milk here, man.
Oh, man.
Just like arm around one of those nursemaids from the island. Like, it's my special lady friend, man.
All right. Can we talk about the beginning and introducing that planet? Again, talking about the visuals, that scope of Kylo flying into that. And then just how fucking dark. That's what I was saying earlier. It's the darkest thing I've seen in Star Wars. It's like when he shows his hands, it's like just fucking
when he rotted away.
Oh, yeah.
Runs into Palpatine.
Like the way they shoot Palpatine's face and like flash,
flashing lights and
zombie eyes and oh god, fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah,
I loved it. I loved it.
I appreciated so much that Palpatine looked scary, like he was in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
He didn't have that fat forehead face that he had in the prequels, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looked terrifying. He was back to being like the uber villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who ran Darth Vader. And
apparently ran Snoke and had backup Snokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No shit. In a jar.
In a jar.
I love that they, with that quick of a reference, because they didn't comment any more about it after that. They were like, I've been the voice you've been hearing this whole time. I've been Snoke. I've been the other things. And I'm the puppet master. Mm. And they just blip across seeing in a jar Snoke, and you're like,
Snokes.
Oh, he was like a genetically engineered fucking dark force user. That's crazy.
Because it's awesome.
There are so many repercussions for that being introduced into Star Wars. It was part of the Thrawn trilogy of the extended universe, Jedi. So this is something that has some, it's not the first time it had been discussed. I think in the Force Awakens games as well.
Mm.
That was also part of it as well. So this is something that has happened in the universe before, but now this is part of the main run, genetic force users, that cloned or genetically engineered force users. There's Baby Yoda in Mandalorian. I mean, if that could be something that kind of explains what this creature is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's all the memes are cute, I guess. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that's why you're being a little pissy bastard about it, because you haven't
seen it. Whose fucking fault is that?
My dude, it's like Sergio Leone made a Star Wars series.
I know.
Chill the fuck out.
It's almost over, and I'm going to binge it.
Okay.
They're releasing it episode per week. I've been ruined by streaming TV. Okay.
Yeah.
Because every other, you know, place, you know, Netflix, Hulu, whatever, they drop a whole season. You're just like, all right, I can do this.
Hulu doesn't do a whole season. Their new shows, they do weekly, and Netflix is getting ready to start doing weekly on some stuff. Lock and Key is going to start being weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, boo fucking who, bitch.
Yeah.
I know. But getting back to Palpatine.
Yeah.
When he, like, the fact that he was on an apparatus.
I love that.
Like he didn't walk or anything. He was
very cyberpunk.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was just like, I love those panned out shots where you just see this giant arm and a tiny little body and then tiny little Ray.
He's just kind of hanging and being like super
malicious
evil.
Yeah.
I love how that was like showing that he's still like this crazy force user, but he needs all this stuff to help him stay alive type thing.
Yeah.
Like way more than Vader's suit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like this thing is intense and that's what he needs to keep going.
I love that it's like, oh yeah, you thought Vader got fucked up. Like I'm basically like a little skin puppet on the end of a robot.
I wonder if
arm.
He even had any legs, skin like puppet. Just top half.
I really wish that that he had like really awkward robot motions with his arms when he was like going to do the electric thing and was like like shooting lightning, that it was awkward and like his hands were really floppy, like they hadn't put robot parts in his hands yet.
They just kind of dangled.
And they're just dangling out as he's just getting moved around to shoot force lightning, and they're all willy nilly because his fingers are pointing different directions. Would have been nice. The most amazing thing.
Yeah, they really show how in your mind the dark side is the most powerful side, and like all, you know, and but they don't realize that all that power they're sucking in when it comes to dark side is basically like a cancer, and it just deteriorates you. Vader's was obviously created, but he is the prime example of what happens, because he is the strongest. He is the Sith Lord. And yeah, I mean, you saw him just fucking shoot up in the sky and just take out fucking fleet.
Oh, yeah.
Fleet of goddamn ships with force lightning. Come on, man.
Speaking of the fleet, that is something I want to get into before we get too close to the break here, is that there was like 10,000 Star Destroyers that they buried for literally
under
no
the water.
Reason.
Under the water.
Right.
No, it was under the earth. Like it was
It was under the earth, yeah.
Yeah. 10,000. It could have been 1,000. And it would have been just as
plenty.
Terrifying.
Yeah. That was like a little overmuch. It was like the big wheel truck kind of thing.
What upset me, I did not see a single fucking shovel. Like, they buried 10,000 Star Destroyers, no shovels.
How did they make all these?
Yeah,
like,
right?
Where did these all come from?
Like, did they just like dug them all up and then they used they shot the shovels into orbit? Like, I don't know how this happened.
Maybe Sith people are moles?
That's why
secretly?
They wear hoods, because they're secret
the
mole people.
They're mole people.
So they just built them underground, so they didn't have to like bury them. They just built everything underground.
That is a possibility.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
It's terrible.
But yeah, it's like, so not only is there 10,000 of these Star Destroyers, which is enough to pretty much level anybody, just having the fucking ships and they're already guns, but they all have fucking planet world killer guns on them. They've condensed the fucking world killer cannon to be able to fit on a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Every one of them could murder a planet. Fucking, are you serious?
But then there was still only one thing you had to do to get rid of all of them.
As there always is, one thing.
Just one thing.
All you have to do is pew-pew them.
Right.
Pew-pew. Yeah, just like you have pew-pew. To pew, like one X-Wing
right.
can take down, like go pew-pew-pew and shoot the
controller.
Gun. And then the entire, it is more vulnerable than just a regular Star Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
That you just shoot the gun and then it's like, oh, we didn't think to put shielding on this Earth-killing weapon. Oh, man. Every time we build something that destroys a planet or a galaxy system,
they don't think that through.
We have this like blatant open spot that you just shoot it and then it blows up everything.
Yeah.
It just feels like the stakes keep getting higher. Like, you know, you had the Death Star, and then you had the second Death Star, and then you have the
World Killer.
the world Starkiller?
Starkiller base. Yeah.
And now you have 10,000 ships that can kill 10,000 worlds, and it's like, but dude,
that's the one consistency with the technology on this in the series is that apparently you pew pew at a thing that destroys a planet, and it all explodes, like it's all connected, and it's like in action movies from the 70s where the gas tank is attached to every part of the car.
Oh yeah.
So if you shoot like the tire, the car explodes. Right. That's exactly. Every spaceship, but. You can put a spaceship underwater for 40 years in salt water and then take it out and knock the kelp off and it flies fine.
Perfectly fine.
I want whatever these spaceships use to build, they build the spaceships out of, to make my phone so I can bathe with it. I can get some, like sing the Rubber Ducky song and just like have it in the water with me. Yeah.
There needs to be like a made for TV ad, like a spray that you can spray on your car. Be like, oh, this will last forever now.
Yeah, like you could drive it underwater, like that scene in The Kingsman Golden Circle.
Yeah.
Like,
just
underwater, lightsaber proof, whatever.
Lightsaber proof, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Finn's, which I want to get into this after the break. I don't feel like they utilized Finn that much in this, which was kind of disappointing. So,
really didn't.
But Finn's big scene where he pew-pewed the control room with the destroyer's own gun. Tell me that wasn't satisfying watching that fucking cocksucking general get slammed out of the window.
I was
laughing my ass off. That was like one of the greatest deaths.
Like that was the only silhouette that you saw getting exploded.
Yeah.
All the other ones just you saw a wall of fire of the rest of the people, but he got fucking ejected.
That was awesome. It's like fuck this guy in particular. Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
So good.
It was like, just you know, he is dead. Like, yeah, you're showing him done. Getting murdered.
He done.
I'm saving us talking about Leia until the second half so we can get into it a little bit.
But we're going to have to talk about that.
With Finn also, there was, outside of the obvious like connection between Kylo and Rey, there wasn't any additional movement on any other romances. Like a lot of people,
like what happened with Rose?
Yeah, Rose was just
kind of there,
but not really utilized at all.
Yeah,
Finn, his relation to her seemed almost like just like a good teammate. You know, maybe not even friend, but like good teammate. And there was no hope of Poe and Finn. As much as even Oscar Isaac came out being like, yeah, cowards, why aren't you going to do this? That would be great if Finn and Poe fall in love and you're not going to do it.
And I mean, they were like, it was right there. I mean, there were a couple scenes where it was like right there.
Close. You thought they were going to do it?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Instead, they introduced Poe's other like old girlfriend.
Now, I do dig that. Carrie Russell, she emoted very well.
She was good.
Yeah.
She's good.
Yeah.
Now, I know her from The Americans. I don't, and she's been in a bunch of other movies, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's fucking phenomenal. And I'm like, I know that fucking voice. And then when she opened up the little slide gate and I saw her eyes, I'm like, fucking Carrie Russell. I was so excited.
You knew her from her eyes.
I did.
Nice. Well,
and then her voice. I watch her for 7 seasons on The Americans. Like, I know what she looks like. You see her a lot. You see a lot of her.
Has that show been on that long?
It's over now. But yeah, it was on 7 seasons. Yeah.
Seven. Damn.
But also, they introduced a character that had a similar backstory to Finn's that clearly is going to be the new love interest for Finn.
Yeah.
And, I mean, clearly.
Giggity.
And that kind of upsets me because I feel like they kowtowed to the incel, like, Star Wars fan base that were shitting on Rose for being, like, a chubby Asian girl.
Yeah, and what the fuck?
Being like, this is horse shit. I'm like, she's adorable. What is wrong? What is wrong with you?
Yeah. And she's a beast. She was like,
she is a fucking beast. And she's like militantly pro rebellion. I mean, she's like one of the biggest flag wavers for the rebellion. And I saw no problem with that being a relationship thing. But they didn't go anywhere with that. They kind of suggested that he was definitely like diehard in love with Rey, but they didn't actually give that any conclusion whatsoever.
Is that what he was trying to say, like before the sand? Like,
no, I think he was trying to say, I know who her parents
think
were.
I think so, because they never touched on that again.
Like, Poe asked him, but I'm pretty sure, because he knew, and Leia knew. Remember, he talks to Poe, and he's like, I knew, Leia knew, Luke knew.
Okay.
And yeah. So I'm pretty sure that's what he, because they thought they were going
to
die.
See, that didn't translate too well on screen if that's what they were trying to aim for.
Everybody knew.
Everybody knew. Everybody on Tatooine didn't tip.
That is one thing that I called that it was Palpatine.
Yeah.
I did call that.
Did you?
The lightning there at the beginning, though. That was
what
the
I
will say.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Well, not the beginning, but.
Yeah.
Not if, but when Disney decides to do another saga trilogy to follow this, because they will.
Oh, it's already been announced. They are.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely going to do it. Asian girl would be a great new Leia because she's so fanatically like rebellion.
Poe's the new Leia, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's the
general. The general.
Yeah, he's not the new Leia character, but he is the new general.
She needs to be involved.
I'm just like, seeing Oscar time. Isaac in like one of a slinky dress in a prison, being like, "You're a little short to be a stormtrooper."
I think he'd be down. I think Oscar Isaac would be down.
I think
that.
I might have revealed some of my like.
He could
my
grow his hair out.
Right there's Oscar Isaac in a dress,
hair out
in the buns,
little yeah. buns on the side. Dude, if he did the buns,
oh yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I don't think we've never seen him long hair. We don't know if his hair grows that way.
Yeah.
We don't know if he can grow it long or if it just poofs out or whatever.
I think that's a good point to take a break.
Yeah, probably.
I'm gonna go daydream about Oscar Isaac with the Leia buns. And
you want him with the Leia buns, but you want him in the Return of the Jedi outfit.
Yeah.
But you want him in.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
So we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna go over our sponsors a little bit. We're gonna do a what we're drinking and maybe do a drunken scene or two. So stick around. We'll be right back. We have plenty of things to keep you busy during the holiday season here in December from Geeks Under the Influence and our friends around town in Richmond, Virginia. So let's get to it. On the 19th of December, we've got Gritty City for the Kids, some hip hop at the Camel. Then the 23rd, we are back on a off week from trivia normally. The 23rd of December for Fallout Trivia at Fallout with Geeks Under the Influence. Then again on the 30th, so we've got the Christmas Eve Trivia, and then we've got New Year's Eve Trivia with Geeks Under the Influence, both at Fallout. Then we've got Busky Comedy on the 27th of December with Carlton Kay at Busky Cidery. I was just at the last one. Tons of great local comics doing amazing stuff. Come and check out Busky Comedy. It's a great room for comedy, and it's free. Then on the 31st of December, New Year's Eve, we've got the New Year's Eve Bash at Strange Ways in RVA, where you can get some variety show action, some burlesque, some sexiness, and enjoy ringing in the new year with burlesque right meow. And I might even see a few Geeks Under the Influence panelists and friends out there as well. So that is our list of things in December. Check your calendars. Follow all this info at GUIpodcast.com. Follow all our social media, and we'll see you at the events. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence 179, all about Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, which it was actually referencing two things in the movie, Rise of Skywalker. It was both Ben being of the Skywalker bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And also Rey adopting the name at the end of the movie.
Which I want to get into that.
We're definitely going to get into that. But I thought it was kind of smart that at first I'm like, oh, it's about Ben. And I went, oh, and apparently also Rey. Fuck. All right. That's cool.
yeah.
So technically not the end of the Skywalker saga, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, before we get into that and Drunken Scene, what we're drinking, all that stuff, we're going to get into our sponsors a little bit. This is coming out on Christmas Eve, so hopefully you've used the code or the link from GUIpodcast.com to do your Christmas shopping. But, you know, you're going to have reason to go to Amazon after this. There's gift cards that you got or all the sales, the post-Christmas sales that you're going to get on Amazon as well. So check that stuff out. Just make sure you use the link at GUIpodcast.com in the upper right-hand corner when shopping at Amazon. You're going to want to pre-order Rise of the Skywalker. You're going to want to pre-order all the Baby Yoda stuff from The Mandalorian or all your Star Wars gear. Moving forward.
I don't deter too much from that, but can we say how they really missed the mark on that shit? That shit should have been ready to roll early
November.
It's not
going to be here until May.
But was a long conversation, apparently, because it was so important to Favreau that they didn't ruin Baby Yoda mm-hmm. before it came out. And, you know, with toy stuff especially, that's toy fairs, and that stuff leaks more than anything else does. Mm-hmm. That's how people thought that Finn was the Jedi in Force Awakens, because the toy came out with him holding a lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
And so that is constantly a source of leaking is the toy stuff. So Baby Yoda just being like, why is there a child Yoda mm-hmm. for The Mandalorian? That would have blown up like immediately.
True.
So,
that is true.
Yeah.
So I get it. There was no way to really like have it ready to roll super secret and then be like, surprise, and then roll it out within a month. It just wasn't
logistically
a possibility. But
I'll let it slide. It's fine.
But they are coming out, and I think they moved it up to April for a lot of them. So you can pre-order that right now, which you probably need to in order to get the first round of Baby Yoda toys. So do that through at Amazon.com. Just go through the link at GUIpodcast.com first to give us credit so we get a little bit of cash for all your purchases by us referencing you to Amazon that you were going to shop anyway. So why not? Help out. That's your Christmas gift to us, is regularly using the Amazon link on our website. Also, additionally, TeePublic. TeePublic. Deeply appreciate everyone that has been using TeePublic as a source for merch for holiday presents. We've been doing decent on sales during November and December, so we appreciate it. You pushing all your interests on your friends and family that maybe don't even know we exist. So thank you for that. We very much appreciate it. We will have, as of the release of this episode, or maybe the day after when we do the preview, we'll have the strictly hypothetical design on the website as well. So check that out. It's a chicken and the egg design with the strictly hypothetical logo. So check that out and listen to the show as well. We are constantly putting new designs up. Also, and this is very important, a couple of the Halloween designs I was keeping up through the end of the year, but as of New Year's Day, all of the new designs and the old Halloween designs are coming off the website until next Halloween, except for we're leaving up the Cthulhu GUI logo that we kept up from last year, and the Ouija board shirt sold so well that we're just making that a regular year-round shirt available on the site. So
nice.
But the Hellraiser Bop It is going away until next year. The Elm Street Ale, the
Alcohol-Halloween,
all those are going away until next Halloween. So get it while it's hot. That'll be leaving on New Year's Day. So you have till the end of the year to get those designs, or you'll have to wait until next Halloween when we release. So,
yep.
And that's our sponsors. Now we get into the lubrication that gets us through these shows. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
Kyle.
This evening, I didn't go Star Wars themed. I went so much as I did holiday themed. We've got a Christmas beer here because it is the holidays. This is our last GUI episode of the year, and this will be releasing on Christmas Eve. So I went with the classic Hardywood Christmas Morning, which is an Imperial Milk Stout with spices and coffee.
It's delicious. In it.
And it's a big boy at 9.2%, 55 IBUs, so it's not super hop heavy.
Oh, it's just so fucking good. God damn it.
Mm. That is the holiday spirit in the glass right there.
That's delicious.
Oh, yeah, you guys love that beer.
Yeah,
Groot's sitting there with his flask like, nope.
Groot's doesn't like carbonation, so he misses a lot of awesome things in life.
Yeah, don't do the beer thing.
Yeah.
Or soda or anything carbonated.
But luckily, Hardywood has gotten better. They have that separate brewery now out in
West Creek. Yeah.
So they are able to actually keep up with demand. So Christmas Morning used to be really difficult to get a hold of, and now I have a little bottle, just a little pint bottle that I was able to get for like $6 at Kroger. You know, they had a big display of it. So it's way more accessible. You should be able to find it most places in the Richmond area that carries Hardywood products. And it's a tasty beverage for your holiday parties.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's delicious.
Hell yeah.
It's definitely heavy. You're not going to need a whole lot of this to get imbued with the Christmas spirit.
That's why they dropped the bottle down from 750 to 500. That's basically like a beer.
Yeah.
You pour a glass and then the bottle's empty versus getting like almost two in the original bottle, which was sometimes you don't want to dedicate yourself to that much of this heavy beer.
Yeah, that's you're going to be sitting where you're sitting for a little while after finishing the 750 bottle. Yeah.
It was during a movie. I'd pop it before I started to watch something. I'm like, I'm good. I'm just going to sit right here.
And sip it.
I'm not leaving the spot.
Yeah, this is definitely a cup coater where you just like turn the cup sideways and you see the coloration on the side just sticking to it. Dying.
But it's not complete motor oil. It's almost there, but it's not complete motor oil.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of that like bitter chocolate note on the finish, like a little bit of that coffee. Pretty approachable. It's not like a super bitter or overly heavy. It's on the heavier side. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not motor oil.
No, and the spices are nice in it too.
Very
you actually
well balanced.
Really taste them.
Yep.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoy this beer. Definitely worth checking out. That's the Hardywood Christmas Morning. And Groots, you're sipping on some booze. What are you sipping on?
Yes, I got some Buffalo Trace here.
Sweet.
Nice. Which can be a share if anybody would like.
I'll take a little little nip.
Little nip, 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 nip.
Little nip.
All right. You interested?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good, though. I'll stick with the stout.
Buffalo Trace is kind of hard to track down nowadays.
It is.
I got a bottle.
And it's really annoying because you can go to other states and they just have it everywhere.
But in Virginia, kind of difficult.
State-controlled liquor sucks. Just saying.
And you know, it's not like you can just go to another state and buy like 5 bottles and come back, because that's kind of
yeah. Illegal, by the way, this episode brought to you by Virginia ABC.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's kind of illegal, so you know, can't do that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a really good bourbon for the money. Like here in the States or in Virginia, it's like $27.
Yeah, I remember when it was 23.
Yeah, but it's still a really good price for the quality of bourbon.
It's a really good bourbon for the money.
Yeah.
I know it is. It is. I'm just saying, I remember when it was even cheaper. Because remember when Elmer T. Lee was, you were able to find that, it was the price range of Buffalo Trace is now, and Buffalo Trace was even lower than, you know.
That's true.
Because Elmer T. Lee was a single barrel, a single barrel.
Yeah, yeah.
But because that is fucking obsolete. And then
Elmer T. Lee is the white whale right now.
Yeah,
because it's.
I remember you brought it over for an episode. I'm like, why did that leave your house, dude?
Well, right. I didn't realize at that point that it was going to be like something I could never get again.
I got you.
And I mean, for like a $36 bottle,
it's baller.
Awesome. It's delicious. It drinks like an $80 bourbon.
I do apologize if I sound a little lip smacky after I am sipping on this, because it's making all the glands in my mouth work overtime after taking a sip of the Buffalo Trace.
It happens.
So I'll do my best to swallow my spit, but holy crap. Yeah.
Well, so I know you're good at swallowing. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm real good at swallowing.
Yeah, you are.
Speaking of swallowing, I'm going to swallow my pride so we can do this next part.
That's right.
Of, here we go.
Here we go.
No one is left with any pride after this this part of the podcast. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
I decided, because we are talking about The Rise of Skywalker, we're going to do two scenes from the last movie of the actual Star Wars numbered movies. We're doing episode 8, the Last Jedi, for both scenes here that we got. It was hard to find a scene with 4 people that was of a level of importance that it was worth actually doing the drunken scene. So we got 2 that will be a lot of fun. The first one with Luke Skywalker and Yoda. And if I can, I would love to do Yoda, because that's going to be so much fun for me. But if somebody's really dying to do Yoda.
It's all you, bro.
You got this.
Oh, so you're actually going to try to go Yoda.
I'm going
to
get to the Yoda.
You're going to go, oh, Jesus.
I'm going all in, I am.
Is that what we have to listen to?
That's
fuck.
Exactly that is.
Frank Oz is going to reach us and just say, I'm going to come to Virginia and kick your ass.
Frank Oz will kick my ass, he will.
He probably could.
It sounds like I'm doing an impression of Dave Chappelle doing an impression of Yoda. That's.
I just saw Frank Oz, old as fuck, in Knives Out.
Oh, yeah, isn't that? Yeah.
And that was awesome.
Nice.
All right.
Okay, so I need a Luke Skywalker for this scene to go with Yoda. Wants to be whiny Luke.
I can do that.
Okay.
It's
fine.
All right.
So Lowdown is Luke, and I am Yoda. So, Luke, whenever you want to start this scene from The Last Jedi.
Master Yoda!
Young Skywalker!
I'm eating all in this. Tree, text, Jedi. I'm going to burn it all down!
Wow.
Oh, Skywalker, missed you, have I?
Is it time for the Jedi Order to end?
Time it is for you to look past a pile of old books.
The sacred Jedi text?
Oh, read them, have you? Page turners, they were not. Yes. Yes, yes. Wisdom they held. But that library contained nothing. But I'm turning into a full Muppet. In this
Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster.
You sound like a Skeksis.
That library contained nothing that the girl Rey does not already possess. Skywalker, still looking to the horizon, never here now. The need in front of your nose.
I was weak, unwise.
Lost Ben Solo, you did. Lose Rey, we must not.
I can't be what she needs me to be.
Heeded my words not, did you?
Grover. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing Grover. Yes.
Yes.
Pass on what you have learned. Strength, mastery, but weakness, folly, failure. Also, yes, failure most of all. The greatest teacher failure is. Luke, We are what we grow beyond, or they are. We are what they grow beyond. They are. That is the true burden of all masters. I am confused and incontinent.
He is old.
He's wow. Old. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that was great.
That was a thing that happened.
Oh yeah. So, oh yeah.
All right. So now it's up to Groots and Bunny to bring it on home with the second part, which is between Kylo Ren and Rey.
I'm gonna be Kylo Ren.
Okay.
Let's all do right. this.
Perfect.
This is gonna be fun.
Yeah. Do
yeah.
it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's time to let old things die, Snoke. Die. Snoke, Skywalker, the Sith, the Jedi, the Rebels. Rey, I want you to join me. We can rule together and bring a new order to the galaxy.
Don't do this, Ben. Please, don't go this way.
Fuck it.
No, no. You're still holding on. Let go. You want to know the truth about your parents, or have you always known? You've just hidden it away. You know the truth. Say it. Say it.
They were nobody.
They were filthy junk traitors. Ooh. Sold you off for drinking money.
Boom.
They're dead in a pauper's grave in Jakku Desert. You had no place in this story. You come from nothing. You're nothing, but not to me. Join me. Please.
You sounded like the emotive Doors in the spaceship from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I only had two actual lines,
that's
so
true.
It's all good.
Whatever.
Okay. Well, we are luckily done with that, and we can get back into the subject at hand, which, talking about that line about the parentage of Rey, they didn't really turn it back from what was discussed in The Last Jedi. Her parents were nothing junk traders, but on purpose, that we learned, again, well, clearly spoilers at this point, but that her parentage is Palpatine. That that she
granddaddy.
Comes from granddaddy, mm-hmm. Grandpappy, which it's weird to be like, my granddaughter finally came to visit. And I'm like, that sounds like every grandfather creepy. In an old folks' home. It's like,
so,
oh, look, it's my granddaughter.
Would you like some candy? Yeah.
If Palpatine pulled out like a little like robot hand, brings over a bowl of Werther's candy.
Here's some saltwater taffy.
Just comes out.
Can we talk about the fact that her actual dad, who is supposed to be Palpatine's son, I guess,
Palpatine Jr.,
is completely not evil in any way?
Like neutral.
Like nothing.
Yeah. Or like just he wasn't even talked about whatsoever with being part of the Force. Like you'd think his direct like son would have crazy Force powers.
Crazy
but
Force
where
powers.
Where was that?
Like, something.
Totally not
also,
mentioned.
Also, who let Palpatine bone them?
Like, very good question.
Yeah, because like this was probably post getting electrocuted by Mace Windu. Like this was like post that probably, like timeline wise.
Yeah.
For it to fit. So like...
I'm pretty sure Palpatine can bone anyone he wants because he's just like, I will bone you.
So rape.
Also, Palpatine has to smell.
I mean, it's
force rape.
It's basically like force mind
you want
control.
There's like
yeah.
a dude that looks like one of the wrinkled dogs. It probably terrible. Smells because the amount of time it would take to put Q-tips underneath all the forehead flaps that he's got. There's no way that dude doesn't smell.
So by your description of
laying on top of some poor woman that's like, all right,
oh,
let's and it just
we're going too
away,
far with the mental
screaming
yeah, I was say,
absolute power
get, no.
as he comes like it would just be too much.
So you, the way you just described Palpatine just doing like the force mind thing, so are you saying that Palpatine is the man in purple?
The purple man,
the purple
from,
man.
Jessica Jones
yeah.
Ooh, yeah
he was just like bam. Yeah.
Or are basically. You saying the purple man's a Sith?
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
The purple
better.
Man is yeah. a Sith. That's, yes.
David Tennant, by the way.
David yeah. Tennant as
wonderful.
A Sith. Yeah.
Turn
wonderful.
That shit. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yes. No, oh, that's God. Hollywood, listen.
I just, I need to know, like, who Rey's grandmama is, because that's a lot.
I mean, it's just, it felt rushed. That part felt rushed.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, her parentage. When it got revealed, it was like, oh, she's a Palpatine. Okay. How does that work exactly? Like, what?
Well, see, Palpatine raised a woman out of the dirt and let it hover in the sky, and then he went and fucked her, and then she had a baby 9 months later.
So, but was it the son? I thought it was the daughter.
Did he have a daughter? Was it the son?
The son was
okay. It was the son. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was just like regular dude.
You
can deny the powers too. We've seen people do that before.
We're in the holidays. Imagine like you're a woman that marries a perfectly nice junk trader dude. Like he seems really chill. No problems, normal, just working class life. You're happy, and then
you
meet the in-laws, and it's the fucking head of the Sith, and like, yes, join us. I'm like, no.
I feel like Palpatine would have been a very controlling father. Okay, he would have been very like, this is my lineage, sort of situation.
I just want to see teenage son of Palpatine being like, right. When are you going to go to Sith school? And it's like, I just want to dance, Dad.
Right. How did he not control, with all of his force powers, control his son and make teasing. Him like the next progeny?
He goes into the
sort of thing.
His son's room, and there's like a poster inside the closet of Luke Skywalker. It's like, where did you get this? It's like,
exactly.
You don't bring this trash into my house.
It just doesn't make any sense that like, you know, he would have a child. And that child would just be like, no, man, I just want to be a regular dude.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. That was a little weird.
It felt weird. Yeah. It just didn't track, you know?
Mm. I went to Sith school. My father before me went to Sith school. You're going to Sith school. Dad, I want to go to trade school. Like, I think I'd make a really good electrician. You are going to Sith school, and that's final, sir.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I just want to be a bartender in Tatooine.
Feeling rushed kind of goes into what we talked about with, it doesn't feel like it's really the end of the Skywalker scene. What was up with her taking the name?
See, I liked that, though.
But where was the point in
that? Well, it was the, what's the actual line, the actual quote of blood is thicker than water? It's actually the opposite of what people take it as, that it's the blood of the lamb is thicker than the water of the womb, I think is what it actually is, which basically means that, you know, the connections that you make with people is more important than the connections that you have by blood.
Mm-hmm. No, right?
So it's the opposite of.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel this movie really hammers in, is that Rey found her family, and she found parental figures, you know, with Leia, and you see that there is a closeness there that we didn't really get a chance to see in Last Jedi or Force Awakens, but it was kind of inferred at the end of Last Jedi that there was a connection there because of Han.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a father of figures with both Han and Luke, and then Leia as like a mother figure that she never had that, and that was really her parental figures when she really was kind of reborn as a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also her family with Finn and Poe and the whole crew. That's more important than the fact that she's a Palpatine. So that's whole movie is about found family.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to like be the family that you're born into.
Yeah.
Find your own family and make
it. You know, Supernatural has that running theme too.
That running theme as well.
Supernatural.
Yeah. Oh, gotta bring it back, man.
Always gotta bring it back, baby. That's right.
This is yet another opportunity. I'm hoping that there are more scenes in the director's cut or extended.
I think that's what I want. I want more.
Yeah.
You know, like that. I feel like that is something that needs to be expanded upon because, you know, she obviously had a connection with Leia and, you know, Han in the first movie, all these things, but she's now a Palpatine. That's a plot thing they did.
Could you imagine that final scene where it's like, who are you? And like, I'm Rey. Palpatine, and then the woman is just like, oh shit, and then just runs off into the desert.
But I feel like her coming to the Skywalker name, which is, you know, traveling of the character, like, and I get it, but I feel like there could have been more, I don't know, like development.
I agree. That's it. It was just kind of like, bam, after all that. It, you know what I mean? I was like, I mean, they did kind of make it. She goes back to Tatooine, and
how much did Luke actually help her?
Exactly.
You know, like he was like, "No, I'm not going to help you. True. I'm not going to help you."
And that's his name. I mean, Leia was a Skywalker, but she's really, you know, it's not the name she went by. So
yeah. Organa,
went by Organa. So
I think they missed an opportunity by her bearing both Luke and Leia's lightsabers, but also it being Leia's lightsaber that definitely gave me a lot of fucking feels at that moment. But the fact that she buried both at Luke's home planet that Leia was never on. Yeah. Like, it was never
Leia's planet's gone.
Mm-hmm. But that would have been the scene where, like, she leaves Tatooine and then just goes and is like, now reaching the coordinates for Alderaan, and it's just space, and she just throws it into space where Alderaan used to be.
That would have been bad. No, see, that would have been terrible, though.
Or launch it off like the end of Wrath of Khan, but instead of Spock's dead body, it's just the lightsaber being sent out. Same music.
All right, so I got two things, and one of these things will be a talking point in a second. But we had a flashback scene where Luke and Leia were
training.
And Luke had the blue saber and she had the green saber. And then her saber later in the movie was blue.
Blue. They're both blue.
Which I was like, the fuck? But let's talk a little bit about Leia, the job they did with Leia. The fact that Carrie Fisher died like shortly into the production of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a fucking fantastic
Agreed.
Job.
Agreed.
Oh, they
a
did.
Fucking great. They did as best they could given the circumstances.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Even that flashback scene where, you know, they were younger, Luke looked fantastic.
Yeah, she
and
still looked...
She looked okay, but it was way better than her at
Rogue
the end
One.
Of Rogue One.
Rogue One.
Which
she
was
looked
like,
like a sex doll.
She looked like Channing Tatum.
Wow.
It looked bad, dude.
No, you just mean dead in the eyes is what you mean, right?
Dead in the eyes and just like a chipmunk face.
Have you ever looked in Channing Tatum's eyes? He's a shark. Like, there's nothing happening there. It's just pure predator.
If you look too close, they just roll back white.
Yeah, right.
You know he's getting ready to strike.
You hear chanting in the background. You're like, okay, this is not okay.
No, but I think they really did a really freaking good job with Leia
and
as far as like...
Because I knew the circumstances, it was clear that, you know, she was not nearly as talky as Leia tends to be.
Yeah.
Where she would say like a line or two and then a lot of back shots from the back end. So it's a double. But even so, if I didn't know the backstory, it wouldn't have come off as weird.
True.
I think they must have like processed her actual dialogue from earlier movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did a really good job.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that.
Like everything that she said, like all of her lines of dialogue, I don't know how much was actually filmed and what wasn't. It was pretty flawless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing I said after that came out, you know, I was like, well, How are they gonna kill off Leia? Because they had a chance to do it in Last Jedi when she gets sucked out of the ship, right? And I'm like, okay, this is it. I mean, she went out, you know, hard as fuck, right? Fighting, okay, but she didn't. Way to the end of the movie, I'm like, okay, if she dies in the fucking opening scroll, I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna walk out of the fucking theater.
They also could have done a little bit of reshooting had it been her that sent the ship through Snoke's ship. Instead of Holdo.
True.
Because there is lines where she's like, no, it's my responsibility. I need to do this. And then you just have Holdo being like, I guess it is. It'll suck to see you go later.
Bye. Like, but just... there was ways they could have you know, made it work. But the way they handled her dying was really with basically Ben was dead. And then, you know, Rey brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
Which, sidebar, if anybody... Oh, okay. I'm sorry, dude. You haven't seen it, but I'm going to talk about this one scene. The reason they released The Mandalorian earlier this week was to show Baby Yoda healing, force healing, so they could that way it made sense in the movie.
Yep.
Because she force heals a creature and then she force heals.
That's not really a spoiler. Yep. Spoiler.
No,
for
but
the series.
That's the reason they released.
And that has been a longstanding thing, is something that the force powers can do in canon. So it's not like this is the first time we've seen this.
No, it's not. But you know what I mean.
Well, I'm going to out myself as like a giant nerd right now. Because I did play D6 Star Wars tabletop for many years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But force healing is definitely a power that Jedis can wield and have, you know, they've had it throughout the books and like, the extended universe. It's definitely a thing. And the fact that she started to use it in this movie was awesome.
Yeah.
And that is probably the greatest turning point, because that's what allows Ben, Kylo,
his redemption.
Kylo to become Ben.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. No, exactly. So Kylo to become Ben, and just a sidebar, that little scene with Han was glorious.
It was the same line.
Oh yeah,
same lines.
Yeah,
yep.
same lines.
But it was so powerful.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Again.
And they showed the saber, and it literally shot. It was like the same exact fucking scene,
which was such a cool callback to just have it the same beats, everything, but it just turns the way that you wanted it to in the first movie.
Yeah,
like
I almost wondered if they actually used the same footage. And just superimposed it in that scene.
But no, the angles are a little different.
And also his hair was a little bit more scraggly.
Exactly.
Like, he was not nearly as put
together.
Like,
he was back. Like, he refilmed
he had windblown hair like he'd been surfing. You know?
Like, it's like, what's up, dude?
I've been on vacation for like
2 months. I've been
retired. Man. Yeah, it's great.
But they didn't really touch on it too much with The Force Awakens, but definitely on Last Jedi. This trilogy has really shown the evolution of the Force in this universe. And they just nailed it the fuck home with Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the ways they were using the Force and just how, especially with Palpatine, how he absorbed the Force. He was just sucking it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking rad as shit.
And I could see some people complaining about how quick the turn was for Kylo, but I feel like they had kind of set that up several times. And then also, anybody that has a relationship with their mom, especially dudes and their moms, it's like, Mama? Like, Mama's dead? that's going to have an emotional effect on you, no matter if you're a dark Sith Lord or not. You know? And I feel like it was a completely reasonable turn. Then he's like, Mama's dead. It's partially my fault. Fuck. Yeah, maybe I should give up this shit. It's clearly not okay. If both my parents are dead, I killed one and then kind of was responsible for the other one dying.
I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm a piece of shit.
I also want to say, like, how much Kylo's character grew over the past three episodes was fantastic. Like, I remember disliking him immensely in the seventh episode.
Yeah.
But like now, just seeing Adam Driver's like the way that he was two completely separate characters. Kylo Ren and Ben are completely different.
The charisma on Ben. Yeah. Ben is charismatic as shit.
That little like smirk when he was fighting like his men at the end there. Total Han
so
Solo.
Good. Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
No, he was definitely Han and Leia's son.
Yeah.
As Ben.
Yeah.
But the evolution of Ben or even as Kylo, we know we didn't get this fucking movie. We didn't get any whiny ass temper tantrums in this fucking movie, which is great. Because we got a shitload in Force Awakens and we had like two in Last Jedi. And I'm like, okay, he's actually adulting right now.
No, and he's a legit good actor.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, he is.
Which is fantastic. And he brings it around in this movie because, in the last movie, he had the temper tantrums. He crushed like his old helmet.
And then with
it got remade in this one. And I have no complaints about Kylo Ren and the Rey sort of dynamic.
No.
Now, I do want to, because we are getting close to the end here, but there's one thing I definitely wanted to touch on before we move out, is that after Rey buries the lightsabers, and she then introduces her lightsaber, which clearly is a call to her staff that she's been using the entire series, but also additionally, and this is going to be where nerds are going to be battling online until the next movie comes out, is it is a fucking yellow lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the yellow lightsaber has a couple uses in canon and also in extended universe or legends, whatever they call it. But traditionally, you use as protectors, Jedi, like protectors, and also by the gray Jedi as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of suggestive, especially since a lot of the teachings of Luke on the island border on the balance between the light and the dark, and going away from the Jedi Order so much as going to a real balance of the Force. So I could see this suggesting that Rey is the first gray Jedi, and considering that this is the end of the prophecy of bringing balance to the Force, it's a perfect way to send it off, is that the yellow lightsaber is a representation of a balance between the two sides. It's fucking beautiful.
Now, with saying that, I've thought about that, because we discussed it, and I've had that thought process going through my head since I've seen it. There's no Sith left. How is there a balance?
Balance is good and evil. He melted.
Balance is good and evil. How is there a balance?
Well,
there's only Jedi, so there's no balance if there's only good.
There's only a Jedi, and
no, that kid had the Force. He hasn't been trained to be a Jedi yet. Remember the end of Last Jedi?
That's the thing, is like the Jedi aren't the only people that can use the Force. They're the ones that are trained in a mystic order to harness.
Right. There might be Force sensitive people out there, but
even Finn is Force sensitive. Yeah. He's like, I know it's there.
Exactly.
And he also heard her like a few times.
Exactly.
And Maz. Mm-hmm.
And Maz
is definitely Force sensitive.
She is the last Jedi.
Yeah.
I know it's like the next movie after that, but she's the last Jedi now.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's been good and dark. She never went dark though.
She got close.
She almost went
almost. Then Last Jedi, almost, but she didn't actually go dark.
But she's also from a dark lineage.
Yeah.
Yes, that is
she
true.
She was a Palpatine, and also, like, she was tempted. She was
tempted,
and
yes.
She was part of a in dyad where it was somebody that was a dark force user that came from light force parentage, and she was a light force user from dark force parentage. So the dyad, the duality between them, she kind of adopted both once Ben died.
Yeah. Okay.
So, let's
I just wanted to run through that
very briefly about the scare about Chewbacca dying.
Oh.
Because okay. I was like, no way they could let Chewbacca go out like this.
Dude, I was like, I was so mad.
Yeah, dying off screen. I was like, he died off screen. It doesn't
count. Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That
he's
was
not dead.
The one part of the movie I was like, the fuck? What?
They did that with fucking C-3PO.
I know.
As well.
I was like, why are they killing off all these characters? What are they doing to
us? I was like, the fuck? What? But
those
are
the two characters that can be in indefinitely.
Yeah.
Because they're just in costumes.
I mean, it was an incredibly cinematic scene where, you know, she's facing off of with Kylo and she's like, and he's trying to bring it down. She's trying to hold it up and the fucking force lightning. I killed Chewbacca. And I was like, no.
No.
It didn't happen.
That shit.
It didn't happen.
Man. I also love that once we realize Chewbacca's fine, it's like, cool. Well, the 30 fucking dudes in the thing, fine. But at least Chewbacca's not in there.
I'm super happy that that reveal happened like literally like 5-10 minutes later.
I know.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, don't let
holding
us stress
that anxiety
out too long
through.
About it.
Yeah.
Because they just moved on. And like, no, that we're not doing this. We're not doing like in Firefly where it's like, wash, and like no time is given because they're in the middle of war.
I mean, like, they still felt like they killed Chewbacca for like 40 minutes, but I was like, oh, dude.
And the whole C-3PO thing, I was so concerned that he just was not going to be C-3PO? Yes, thank you. Yeah. C-3PO. After that, I was like, he has to come back in some form.
Has to.
Right.
Like, but that was, I like how they did that. He just like completely restarted and it was just really good.
Yeah.
He was like, so
was it
like,
R2-D2 that gave him his memory?
Yeah. Back. Yeah.
And
they
like right before the trip.
Made mention, it was like, doesn't he back up your memory files? Like, yeah, but he's like historically not dependable.
But it was,
yeah,
that
so
was
he's
really
like an
though.
Earlier version of C-3PO.
By 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel
was
like...
it 2 days?
Yeah,
or
it was like right
like,
before they left.
You know, like 10 years. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Well, no, they said, like, I'm about to go on the first mission with Rey, and that was the mission they were on. So
that's right.
Yeah.
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 So it was clear. It was like a day or two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He
was good. He's all right.
Yeah.
I loved his lines, though. Like, he actually brought comedy to the show, and it was great. And
he said, actually. Be like, this time he was funny.
But, like, they included him more, and it was really. And I just love the interactions between everybody.
Oh, when they all stare at C-3PO, and then he turns around to look behind him to see what they're looking what he's looking
so
at they're
good.
Looking at.
It's like
good.
Yeah, so they add comedy with him, like when they drop into the tunnel, like, and he's like, I'm okay even though no one asked. Like, he's just like constantly pointing out nobody includes me. Like, and he's, but he's including himself.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty awesome.
Can we talk about that it was very nice to see, but I would have liked to see a little bit more Billy Dee fucking Williams coming back as Lando Calrissian.
Yes!
Smooth as
fuck
fucking
yes.
silk.
Now,
for
see,
all these years.
I feel like his acting was very choppy. Like, his dialogue, the way he delivered it, was choppy.
Well, he's an old fucking man, but he was still just charismatic as shit, though.
No, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse, man.
That's a kind of an excuse.
He's not, dude, he's not the oldest one that came back for Star Wars.
I would have liked Palpatine is passing out, you know,
Harrison
saltwater
Ford
taffy,
is the same age, and he was smooth as a motherfucker. Harrison Ford and him are the same age, so I don't want to hear about fucking old, dude.
I think he was a little underused.
There you go.
Yeah.
And his delivery was very just like slow.
Although
and...
Billy Dee and Harrison Ford both looked like basset hounds. Their jowls have like extended and they're just like flappy.
And what was the point with that last scene? Like, I don't understand that scene when they land back on the Rebel planet.
And it's like, oh, you don't know where you come from? We'll find out.
It's like,
oh,
okay.
I know. Like going off on an adventure together. Yeah, like,
is that leading a side story movie?
That's exactly what it felt like.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's going to be a side story that starts where they're already exploring where her parentage comes from while Rey is doing a thing, like teaching Jedi kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Being like, I promise I won't murder you like Anakin did.
Yeah, I won't try to murder you like Luke did. Yeah. He tried to murder Ben. Fuck.
I felt like that character, I don't even remember that character's name, the girl.
Yeah, was a number. She was a number because she was a stormtrooper like Finn.
Oh,
she just seemed like she was just like forcefully inserted into the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't really get the vibe that she was.
It was introducing the character because she'll be much more important in the next movie, I'm sure.
It was kind of cool that was like a whole group of people that left at the same time.
Yeah.
So
they all deserted together.
Yeah.
And it was like a community about that.
That was cool.
That was kind of cool, but it, again, this movie felt so rushed. And
yeah,
there could have been
really
a little bit
out.
There could have been like five more minutes
you didn't
of that.
See their village or anything. Yeah.
Exactly.
I know we're getting ready to wrap it up, so I kind of want to just say, just for unity's sake, because this was an awesome part, when she's finally, when she's laying on the floor at the end, and she's doing what she was trying to do prior when you first see her, when she's training, and she's like, be with me, and then they bring back all the actors that were Jedi from episode one. I mean, you heard
amazing.
Leslie Nielsen, you heard Samuel Jackson, you heard everybody.
Did you say Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah.
He was in...
Not Leslie
Nielsen. Not Leslie Nielsen, I'm sorry.
It's like,
what the fuck's his name?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson.
Although now I just want to see the
Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen.
Ewan McGregor.
Everybody. You heard all those voices. And I'm like, that's fucking rad. And then when she gets up and she slams both sabers together, I was like,
yeah,
fucking
what to it.
What I really liked too is they included voices from like Rebels and Clone Wars, like the animated series.
Yep.
So I can't even say it, but
Inosuke
or whatever her name is, like they included her as well. And so they were pulling in all of the
everything.
Nice.
See, I don't know those. I've watched Rebels, but not enough to remember the voices. But that was beautiful. Just looking at the stars and they're all kind of shining and they're talking. Like that was fucking awesome.
Was
great
fantastic.
Scene.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Great like Eye of the Storm moment for that fight, for that battle. You know.
Hell yeah.
We'll call.
So clearly, as we say on especially episodes like this, where there's so much to dive into, this is just a light touch. We don't have the time in an hour show to really get super deep into it and dissect everything that we want to, but. Also, additionally, this just came out. We're recording this the Sunday of opening weekend. Mm-hmm. So I've only seen it once so far because I'm 100% seeing it again.
Oh, yes.
At least one or two more times.
Oh, yes. It's happening.
Definitely.
Yes.
There's so much in this movie that I need to really see it at least twice to really unpack everything that happens in this movie. And I'm excited to do so. This is very rewatchable. For sure. Yep. Because of how dense it is, there's so much that I probably missed and that we'll be able to pick up the second time around. So I'm excited about it.
All the Easter eggs.
All the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
So if there's something that you think we should have touched on that we didn't have the time to or didn't, you know, think to on this episode, hit us up on our social media. Send us a voicemail or a text message on our hotline number, which is 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUI. Social media, Geeks Under the Influence on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff's available at GUIpodcast.com. And we love hearing from our fans. We love hearing your insights that maybe we didn't get a chance to get to. So we maybe even we'll mention it on a future episode, which will be in a few weeks. We've got a GUI Nights coming out before the end of the year. But this is the last episode of Geeks Under the Influence for 2019. So we deeply appreciate all of our listeners getting us, you know, to be best podcast in Richmond, for our numbers getting to where they are, getting us to a point where we have 10, as of the first of the year, 10 podcasts on the fucking network.
It's been a big year.
Huge.
Yes.
Year.
2019.
Huge year
huge.
For GUI. So we appreciate it. We're looking to make 2020 even bigger. We've got five of our shows at the next GalaxyCon, which is in February here in Richmond, Virginia.
Fuck yeah.
So we're already doing that. We're looking at doing a couple other cons as well. We've got some big plans for 2020 to make it even bigger than 2019, and that's thanks to you guys. So thank you so much for making 2019 a, like, banner year for Geeks Under the Influence.
Fuck yeah.
Like, literally, I bought a banner this year.
But no, but thank you.
Thank you so much.
Fucking rad as shit.
And we hope that you're having a happy holiday. We hope that you are enjoying this when you're coming to or from your family stuff. And it'll be probably a week, 2 weeks tops after the first of the year when we release our next episode of Geeks Under the Influence. We're taking a couple weeks off to relax and enjoy the holidays and have fun and get a breather. It's very important.
Yeah.
So we'll start off not too long into January. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Mike the Hobbit, and join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Not I won't. That makes no sense.
That's terrible.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take. Our play begins to spread. You can fight all you want because you fail to resist. We're here to take the world and rule with an eye of fists. So join us or die.
GUIpodcast.com